Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today's conversation is with Steve Katz, author of Lion Taming, Working Successfully with Leaders, Bosses, and Other Tough Customers. Also joining our conversation is Jonathan Brule, Executive Director at the IBM Center of the Business of Government. Steve, most political lions are now shifting gears from getting a job to now performing it. What advice would you provide to career executives during this period, and what can they do to ensure that they are transitioning into a doing mode?
That's a great question, Albert, because doing is something that the lions do a lot of. I think they learn by doing. So you want to engage them, not just in an introduction and orientation. I do prefer that organizations have a formal onboarding program, which I think they should do, and let the new lion know we have an onboarding program. We're welcoming you. We want to orient you. I would, by the way, give them a word book or glossary of what the most important terms and acronyms are so that they speak the language. I would also get to know them and say, is there anything you want our people to know about you? I have worked on a lot of transitions and worked on transition books as well inside agencies. And I think that sometimes they're just too skeletal. People want to know, what are people really going to hold me accountable for? So one thing you can do is make sure they are well briefed by people with regard to Capitol Hill. And the one thing that the politicals usually lack, even if they've been confirmed by a committee, is any longstanding relationship. And you want to encourage them, which is usually often the contrary of what career people know how to do because they don't do ledge affairs. But the Congress can continue to be one of the strongest allies for political appointees, and you want to preserve that relationship. And I would say the next thing is find a way to work together on something. It's only through that substantive constructive process that you'll get to know one another, get trusted, and then later on do bigger and better things.
Now, you note that acting instinctively towards the political lion demonstrates one's own authenticity and values. It also means doing something that many career officials are well trained to view with a certain amount of uncertainty. So what is the most valuable gut advice that a career federal official can provide the political lion?
Well, it depends whether you're talking about program, whether you're talking about politics, whether you're talking about the pressures on the organization. First of all, realize what the actual scope of the political's job is. I do think that a political appointee has a responsibility to know the enterprise as a whole. And from that standpoint, I don't think there's anything wrong initially with doing a very broad introduction to the agency. But I think in terms of what that person has been appointed to do, you want to help them do it. I think the most confusing thing to career people is they think that politicals come in with a well-defined sense of their job, and they really don't. So I would treat the arrival as the beginning of a transition that could last a year, and throughout that, you need to help them define their job. And notice, by the way, when they're getting bored or if they have interests that they can't exercise. So a lot of times your job is to make sure they understand the realities of who and what this agency is about and who it is in the eyes of others versus what they came over thinking they could accomplish. Don't ever make them lose hope, burst that bubble too quickly, because I remember there was one whistleblower case that we wrote some very important law on, but it probably took hundreds before there was one we could do it. On Capitol Hill, you can write legislation day and night.
Steve, you advise federal agencies and managers on how to survive and get ahead in today's workplace. And earlier, you likened the moment of facing a lion. You said you're either prey, the enemy, or ignored. And that prey they eat, the enemy they kill, and everyone else they disregard. So could you explain this a little further now?
Sure. I think instinctively that's how the lions operate. The lion's four senses is this secret decoder ring I talked about earlier with dominance, territory, social standing, and survival, which is how generally they look out in terms of their own view. What can they do to kind of essentially feed themselves and survive out there? Prey the enemy or ignored is very important because it's how they spend their time. I learned prey the enemy ignored because I always wondered why bosses ignored some of the things that I thought were so important. And it wasn't because they thought they should eat them or kill them. It was because the lions reserve their energy for certain things. You know, how many times have we worked in places where you just can't figure out, A, why they hired somebody, and B, why they don't fire them? And the answer is they're not a threat to them. They don't want to eat them. They don't want to kill them because they're not a threat. They ignore them, ignore, ignore, ignore. And it's rampant throughout the workplace. Every effort you make to get the person fired or to get an issue brought up could possibly fail. And so the trick is, how do you make it meaningful to them? I actually think you make it meaningful by trying to determine how it feeds into them being dominant over something, having territory, but make sure it's legitimate. There was a head of an agency in the first term of the Bush administration whose desire for her own visibility made other people in the White House decide, we're not going to give it to her. In other words, it was just such an important part of her ego that they decided, you know, even though that agency should be handling this issue, we don't want her promoting herself as a result of it. So you've got to be a little bit careful. But for your own purpose, I'll tell you where prey the enemy ignored comes in for federal workers also. I believe there's a timetable to people's desire for attention seeking when they get into the workplace. You know, when you first come into an entry-level job, you want people to notice you and you want to be treated as indispensable. You want to be given as much work as possible. And the next stage, say in your mid-30s, maybe late to late 30s, you actually want to begin to specialize and you want to be respected for that specialty. When you're in your 40s and you're looking forward, you now want to be respected and recognized and be visible for that. And then in the next stage, you just want to be left alone to do a great job, right? And so the problem is, and I just happened to see different people in government in the last couple of weeks talking about these issues with them and telling them, you got to step up. First of all, you're older now, and people will normally grant you or assume that you have good judgment. You have maturity. You have lessons. You have something to share. The more you hide, the less it will be used. Someday, they're going to just tap you, and you may not be ready. But my view is, so you've got to really run counter. As Jonathan says, gee, most people don't want all that visibility. I would say it's a good thing. And generally because your job, as I say, everybody's real job is to be a lion tamer. That means helping make the lion stronger. And if you're not the person to tap, then you tell their chief of staff, you really want a gym down the hall.
Well, let me put you on the spot and ask you to think about the difference between applying this metaphor of lion taming to first the Bush White House and now the new Obama White House. Who are the lions and the lion tamers today? Or do we have some who are a bit of both?
I think you always have some who are both. Well, let me go back a step. In the Bush administration, during the second race between Kerry and Edwards and Bush and Cheney, Tony Snow had me on his then Fox, the late Tony Snow, had a Fox news show on Sunday. And it was very interesting since Tony ended up becoming part of the Bush administration. He really pushed me hard on this. You know, who are the lions? Who are the lion tamers? And I think even then he believed that Cheney was the lion. Bush was not a lion tamer, but he was not a fierce lion who was going to rule the pride. And I think the difference was that Bush supported what Cheney did, supported the tone, didn't differ in this kind of top-down executive approach to running government. And I always told people, you know, Kerry wasn't anything till he got a date to the prom, and when Edward showed up on the ticket, boom, there's a lion act. You know, there's a guy in the white pants and there's the lion. And you need that drama and you need that contrast, actually, which is one of the things real lion tamers bring. So when I meet agency heads and say, oh, I have my secretary, I'm fine, I'm thinking, you got nothing. You have no contrast. You have no drama. You have no tension. You have nobody speaking truth to power. You don't have anybody who knows whether to, you know, stand, scream, or get out of the way. And all of those traits are really important. In this administration, there are some differences. I think in the last administration, by the way, the style was the lion. The style was top down. You could do it from anywhere. I would say the Obama administration, and this is tends to be more of a Democratic trait, they are interested in finding public sector specialists who have developed their own reputation and seeing how they operate as lions in their own capacity. Now, I think Obama clearly is a lion. He is a thinking lion versus Biden, who is also a lion and doesn't know yet quite how to be a lion tamer. And he believes he's the politics lion. And I think Biden has, by the way, a very good sense of who he is. But he hasn't quite figured out everything about Obama. Obama, by the way, has a lot of parallels to what I call the hardwired traits of being lions, including this, not intentionally, but being sure-footed and keeping others off balance. He likes to show up at things. He likes to surprise people. He likes to be on the scene. He likes to be present. He's wearing that lion's mane around his neck very, very well. Do you have other lions? Yes, of course. You have Rahm Emanuel. Pete Rouse is a quieter lion, but I've known Peter for years from Capitol Hill. Make no mistake about it. He's a lion. You will have a lot of difficulty reading because he doesn't talk very much. I mean, he's just a quiet and very effective advisor, but deeply knowledgeable. You've got Larry Summers. You've got Peter Orszag. I mean, I'll tell you, it would be a real treat to watch all those guys in operation. And being from Chicago, that's a whole nother layer of this.
So, Steve, switching gears a bit, I understand that you have experience on the Hill reviewing political nominees and with the Clinton White House in actually preparing nominations. So you're obviously familiar with both sides of the equation. Could you describe the process from both these perspectives, and what advice would you give to those currently in that mix?
Well, it's interesting. I recently was communicating with somebody at the White House, commiserating, because I think few people ever realize or bother to think about the transition from the campaign to the White House itself. These guys are drinking out of a fire hydrant and will be for months to come. It is very challenging work. Believe it or not, for all the greatness of working in the White House, it's somewhat undefined, the jobs, and therefore a lot of people think they want to be there. But as the people I describe who are past the point of wanting to be indispensable and they want to specialize, they want to be at the FCC or the FTC or HHS or DHS or DOD. So you get a lot of young people at the White House. For anyone who's ever read any of the Harry Potter books to their children, being in presidential personnel is like when the owls arrive at Hogwarts. They come flying in with the mail. God only knows how they got in. They come in from all over. Yes, there are howlers, just like in Harry Potter, depending on who recommended you. I got this letter from General so-and-so, Senator this-and-such, and President so-and-so, CEO. You know, everybody's got their letters coming in supporting them. People want jobs. There are thousands of jobs and thousands more applicants, particularly in this economy. So it's very tough. I don't know the exact size of the Obama presidential personnel office. I just know they're working really hard. In the Clinton administration, he actually went through, I think, three or four directors of presidential personnel. I think in the first year, I think Bob Nash got there in 94, and you already had Bruce Lindsay, Veronica Biggins, Phil Lader. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. So you were, by I would say summer of 94, you're already on your fourth director of presidential personnel. So it's kind of a it's more like the campaign and its temporary nature of staffing people, not being sure what all the jobs are. Meanwhile, the Hill is, you know, pounding the table. I want these guys confirmed, and it takes time. And you want it to take time, but not forever. If you want to get a job, you had asked about that. In this administration, when it was in the transition, you had to apply at their website. I'm sure the White House has the same thing. You fill out who you are, what you've done, what you want to be in the administration. There's an interview process for political appointees, usually done through the White House. The Schedule C's get another layer of interviews by the deputies and so forth at those agencies. And then there's actually jobs where this could be kind of interesting to people. There are jobs where the agency heads can hire their own people. They're political appointees, but they don't go through the White House per se.
What are the hoops of fire? We will ask Steve Katz, author of Lion Taming, Working Successfully with Leaders, Bosses, and Other Tough Customers, when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.